Oh, well, morning church. Wow, we packed this morning. How lovely to see all your smiling faces. Turn to your neighbor next to you, either one, doesn't really matter, maybe the more attractive one, and say, I believe God has a message just for you this morning. Sorry, that's a bit naughty. Now, if the other one, if your other neighbor feels left out, turn to them and say it as well. I want to do something a little bit old school this morning. I pray you'll bear with me. I think that we should all this morning stand and show some respect as we read God's word together this morning. But I, announcement, there's jaywalkers. Please, if you are sort of youth age, can you follow Josh and Bree out? And then if you guys could all stand and help me reading the word of God this morning. But I'm not going to get you to read all of it. I just want you to help me with two words. Can you help me with two words? The two words are by faith. So wherever you see by faith in the scripture this morning, I'm not going to say it. I want you guys to shout it out and then I'll read the rest. So we're reading from Hebrews 11 verse 8 to 12 and then also from Hebrews 11 17 to 19 and just a little bit further on. So if we can get that up, Hebrews 11 8 to 12. Here we go. So you guys have the floor. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And from 17... Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he has also received him in a figurative sense. Let's pray and bow our heads. Father, help me speak your word this morning. May your people be encouraged to overcome the paralyzing effects of fear in their lives and step out as Abraham and Sarah did by faith. Amen. Thank you, church. You guys can take your seats. Thank you for helping me with that. I just thought it's important for us to see how many times in that passage by faith is actually mentioned. Stepping out by faith. And Abraham was such a father of faith. The title of my message this morning, even though it's a message on faith, is analysis paralysis. Now, some of you here might know what analysis paralysis is. Nice to see you, Rumbi. Haven't seen you in a while. I hope you enjoyed your time in Zim. Great to have you back in the house. Anyway, analysis paralysis. So, analysis paralysis talks of when you have so many different decisions, or maybe you have one decision where you're thinking, man, this is a big decision, and fear starts coming up, and you're like, what do I do? Do I do this? Do I do that? But I want to encourage you that by faith, everyone, can you say one more time with me, by faith? By faith, I hope to encourage you that when we are faced with decisions, we shouldn't be paralyzed by fear, but we can step out in faith, make bold decisions, trust God, and go wherever he leads and work out his plans for your life. You know, sometimes you have these decisions in your life that can be emotionally draining, and sometimes we just bombarded with so many different decisions in the day that we have like decision fatigue. You know, it's just like, oh, I can't decide one more thing. I can't even decide what I want to eat tonight. Just so many things went on at work. I've had all these texts and emails and, you know, people have hit me up on Facebook and it's just too much, you know. We have so many choices, what to eat, what to wear, which job to take, which post or comment to respond to because there's just so many of them, what to screenshot on Snapchat, you know, which event to attend, which person in your life you want to hang out with. And then you have the big decisions like who God would make a good spouse for me in my world. You know, it's like so many decisions. There was a journalist in the early 1900s. His name was Alfred Henry Lewis. He was also a novelist. And he said this, I want you to get this. The best thing is to do the right thing. I mean, that's kind of obvious. Best thing is to do the right thing. The next best thing is to do the wrong thing. Right? Interesting. But the worst thing of all things is to stand perfectly still. So it's this standing still in the face of fear of making the wrong decision because of the consequences that I want to zoom into. That's what analysis paralysis is all about. It's when you feel, I don't know what to do. I'm so scared, you know. But I want to talk about faith and how we can overcome that kind of overanalyzing, overthinking a situation. What if this? What if that? What if people laugh at me? What if, you know. Analysis paralysis is rooted in fear. And there's sometimes, if you let that fear take control of you, you won't get any outcome at all. You know, it will just, I'd like to give you an example. There's actually an example from sports, and David Langlands, you might appreciate this. In cricket, there's a time called the nervous 90s. All right, let me tell you about the nervous 90s. So in cricket, you want to make as many runs as possible in as short a time as possible. And so as a batsman, you kind of get a bit of recognition for making it to 50, but you get a lot more recognition for making a century, making 100 runs. So a lot of these batsmen, they'll go in and they'll hit and they'll be aggressive and they'll charge out there. And then they get to 90 and they're like, ooh, I'm close to getting that glory. I'm close to getting the recognition. I'm close to my goal. And then they start getting overthinking, overanalyzing, get paralyzed by fear, and they're like, oh, maybe I should play a bit more conservatively. Maybe I should block more. Maybe I shouldn't be as bold as I was that got me to that point, and I shouldn't push through, but I'll just play a different style. And what happens most of the time, because they're overthinking and they're being paralyzed by fear, they actually end up going out in the 90s. A lot of batsmen go out in the 90s without achieving 100. And that's a very real way that analysis paralysis works out in life. You know, it's that fear. Fears, and that fear allows, like that fear can rob you sometimes of that goal that you're forging out for, of that one thing, you know, that you are setting out to. That fear can hold you back. You know, it's similar to the way in the Bible when Peter was called out by Jesus to come and walk out on the water with him. You know, it's like, well, anyway, let's just read it. I've got it there for you. Matthew 14, 25 to 31. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Let's have a look at this. So, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. It must have been a bit scary, seeing someone walking on the lake. Anyway, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down on the boat, walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, I want you to zoom in on this, okay? So he was meant to be focused on Jesus. He's like, Lord, I see you walking on the water. I know that you're king of this whole earth. And if you call me out, I'll go. He stepped out in faith. But look what happens while he's stepping out in faith. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. He lost focus of Jesus. And he started looking around, overanalyzing the situation and thinking, what if I fall? What if, you know? Sometimes that can happen when we overanalyze a situation, when we lose focus of the fact that Jesus is there to help us through. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? You know, I personally don't want fear to disqualify me from the end that Jesus has in mind for me, and I'm sure you guys are the same. You know, I would like to be known for holding on to Jesus, taking courage, having faith and not doubting and being paralyzed in fear. There's sometimes so many decisions that can overwhelm us. And I want to look at that word decide today. Decide. I don't know if a lot of you know this, but the word decide in the English language comes from a Latin word called cadere. C-A-E-D-E-R-E. I'm probably pronouncing it totally wrong. But cadere, which then became decide, means to cut off or to hack at something. And that's what a decision does. It's when you decide to go in one direction, you are closing a whole nother door of possibilities. When you are deciding, you're like, okay, Lord, I'm going to choose that. And so I'm closing the door to that. And that's sometimes why decisions can be so hard for us. The fear of, what if we're closing the wrong door? You know, as a society, we love to talk about FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, it's a very real thing. We want to try and keep all the options, all the possibilities open at all times. You know, but is that really realistic? Shouldn't we rather be bold, choosing a certain direction, a certain path, stepping out in faith, trusting God that this is what God's called me to, I'm going for that, and whether I'm cutting off this or that, God is going to use the bold stepping out in faith that I'm doing for his purposes. Even if I'm closing the wrong door by accident, he's still going to use that. I'm still going to trust God. You know, we sometimes think that if we make no decision and simply free fall through life, the universe will magically bring the right person, the right place, the right job. Everything will just fall into our lap. But let me tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. It's designed to keep you ineffective and stagnant and not making any decision whatsoever. You know, it's that indecision of just like, oh yeah, it'll be right. Everything will just work out. I don't have to do anything. It's that decision that keeps you bound to the same way of life that you've always lived. Albert Einstein is credited with saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. That's what some of us do. We like complain about our life and it's not working out, but we're just living the same way every single day. We're not stepping out boldly in faith. We're not making any of the tough decisions that we should be making that God wants us to make to see his purpose fulfilled in our lives. I want to share a short story with you of when I finished university. I went back to Zimbabwe for almost 5 years. And in that time, man, there were so many decisions because I was young. I just finished university. The world was my oyster. And I was like, God, I enjoy doing so many things. I started working as an engineer. But while I was working there, I also thought, oh, I like fiddling with computers, and my boss saw that. And so next thing you know, I'm doing research as an engineer, and I'm also doing the company IT, and then start giving a couple of presentations on the research findings that I'm doing, and some of them look like this. And so they're like, wow, you've got a little bit of a graphic artsy flair. Why don't you start getting involved in the company marketing? Next thing you know, I'm flying to Dubai as the marketing manager for this company. But like, what I found was I wasn't amazingly good in any one area. I was kind of okay in a bunch of different areas because I was splitting my attention and I wasn't making that decision. I was like, no, I want to do a little bit of that. I want to do a little bit of that. Do a little bit of that. You know, in my free time when I wasn't at work, I was writing songs, making music, occasionally performing at rap shows and at church. You know, I kind of knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't really also know. I thought like, God, I want to do something in ministry, or maybe I want to cure cancer. I don't quite know what I want to do, but you know, so I was in this like limbo where I was like, God, I know you're calling me, and I really felt called to somewhere else in terms of a geographic position. I didn't really know whether it was the Middle East, so I started studying Arabic actually for a time. I didn't know whether it was the United States because of my like chemical engineering background. And then Australia somehow came on the horizon because I had family there. And I kind of knew that I wasn't meant to be in Zimbabwe, but I was scared to leave the comfort zone of my friends, my family, all the people that I'd known for 26 years behind, you know, and venture out and do something by faith. You know, I did so many different things during this time. This is quite funny. I thought, oh, I'm going to be a professional computer gamer. And I in some of my spare time, I ended up leaving the engineering job, and then I was kind of doing a little bit of graphic design on the side, and then I had some spare time. So I ended up putting over 3,000 hours into a game called Counter-Strike Global Offensive, playing competitive esports. Yeah, I know, Wes, I know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Michelle doesn't let me touch the keyboard anymore. But anyway, praise God for Michelle. Look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all of these different things. Each one of these things could have legitimately been God's purpose for my life, okay? But I have felt deep down that I knew they weren't, and I was kind of procrastinating because it kind of sounded good, like I'm doing this or I'm doing that, and I could kind of justify it in my life, but really the truth was I was scared to leave my friends and family behind. Now, I'm going to come back to the story in a bit because I'll show you a couple of, I think today is a little bit of like I'm telling you what not to do, church, because I've done the wrong thing. If that, and I hope you can learn about what not to do. You know, I also want to recognize that God is a living, moving, breathing God. He loves us. He's always on the move, and he's looking and encouraging us to step out in faith in so many areas. You know, to ignore that paralyzing fear that can come from overanalyzing stuff. God is the ultimate creator. He's so creative, and he has a very creative, amazing plan for each and every one of you if you will only step out by faith. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is the NIV. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If we truly seek God and the will for his life, somewhere along that line, I can promise you, it will require stepping out into something foreign, into something uncomfortable, having a conversation with someone who maybe, oh Lord, I couldn't do that, you know. God likes to use us because only you are like you are, to go into a dark place and bring light where only you can, you know. So that's what that faith call is all about, is stepping out and being obedient to something that God's calling you to and just running with it by faith. So my first take-home point this morning that I want to really talk about is faith obeys the word of God. Just let that sink in for a moment. You know, we're going to look at that passage about Abraham again in Hebrews 11. And in verse 8, it says quite clearly that Abraham, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. So there was a calling right at the beginning of it all. God was like, hey, Abraham, I've got this idea. Come along for the ride, you know? So it was the word of God was spoken first. And God took great pleasure in Abraham's faith and credited him as righteous. Let's look at that. In Genesis 15, verse 4 to 6. So this is the same passage that Hebrews is talking about. But it says, then Jehovah told him, No one else will be your heir, for you will have a son to inherit everything you own. So that was one of the big promises, was that he was going to have an heir. Then God brought Abraham outside beneath the nighttime sky and told him, look up into the heavens and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count. That's the promise. But now, look at this. And Abraham believed God. Then God considered him righteous on account of his faith. How awesome is that? You know, God can speak to us in so many ways. You know, he can speak to you through people. You can be like, wow, Wes, you said that to me, and I believe that's God speaking. Or he can speak to you through a circumstance. Maybe you find yourself in a dark place, and then you're like, man, I feel God really said that. Or maybe you find yourself in a good place, and there's a passing comment, and you're like, whoa, that was God, you know? God can speak to you through his word. That's one of the most powerful ways. And God can also just give you little impressions, and you just feel like, man, that while you're having a prayer time with him or something, you know? But that's the thing, and that's my first point, is that faith obeys God's word and steps out to do his will. That's what faith does. It obeys the word of God. My second point is kind of like it, and that's that faith delays gratification. You know, Abraham stepped out after God called him to this strange land, said to him, mate, you're going to have a son. But it took a long time for that to come around. You know, this delayed gratification is so foreign to some of us. You know, we go on a website, put something in the trolley, hit the checkout, and the thing's at our door by the end of the day. You know, but that's not sometimes how God works, because that wouldn't be faith. That would just be knowing. Like if you knew God, you just pray, you check off the things off your list, and the next second God answers that, there'd be no need for faith. You know, we all want things right away, right now. You know, God talks about seeking first the kingdom, and then all these things will be added to you. He rewards the virtues of patience, of endurance, of persevering through when you don't see things come to fruition right away. You know, sometimes when we follow God and His word, there's no immediate reward. And God's timing can feel slow at times, but let me encourage you, it can feel slow, but God is never late. His timing is perfect. And if He's called you to do something, let me encourage you, He will follow through. Keep pressing on, holding on to faith, but put your gratification on hold. Sometimes it takes a while for you to see the fruit of that promise. You know, in Abraham's life, God did come through for him and he had a son, but he ended up waiting 25 years to see that son come to fruition. And then I'm not saying that you have to wait for 25 years, but I'm just saying that sometimes our timeline is not God's timeline. My third point this morning is faith moves without all the facts. Again, like I said, faith wouldn't be faith if we had all the facts. It would be knowing and not faith. You know, Abraham showed obedience where he had no idea where he was going. I'll share another personal story about moving without all the facts. I thought I had all the facts, but about 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more, this lovely lady and I started messaging each other online. For those of you who don't know, I met my wife on online dating, on Christian Connection, actually. It sounded like a Sunshine FM ad, but yeah. but like the thing is we'd had a lot of sort of messaging backwards and forwards, and we kind of both felt like, oh, we'd probably be a good suit for each other. But we didn't know, really. We ended up meeting in an airport for less than an hour in a really noisy place. Didn't get to talk much. But I kind of had this little letter prepared. And before I went to the airport, I was like, God, I feel like this could be it. And, you know, if I get some sort of, you know, if there's birds tweeting and there's ribbons falling from the sky, there, and there's a sign, then I'll give this letter to Michelle, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But the funny thing is that during that encounter, I didn't really feel anything. I didn't feel like, I felt like, look, lovely girl and all, but I didn't feel like, you know, sometimes people say, like, at first sight, I was blown away. Well, I could tell that she was attractive and whatever, but I felt like it was almost like God put it on me, and he said, just trust me, step out in faith, give her the letter, even though you, with all your, you know, I've made so many bad mistakes in my life, and God I just felt him say, just give her the letter, even though you're not feeling anything, just take that step of faith, give her the letter, and it'll be all right, you know, and even if it wouldn't be, like God, if it was the wrong decision, God would use that decision for his good. Amen? Like, because I was willing to step out in faith. And man, from there was a bunch of other things that happened on our next meeting and all this. And we like ended up starting to have a courtship dating relationship. And now she's my beautiful wife. So it turned out well. But in the moment, at the time when it was first starting, it was like I felt I had to step out by faith. I really felt like, man, I have to give her this letter, even though maybe my emotions are all and it was not the ideal, but just do that little small act of faith. And God can use even a small, silly thing like that to totally transform your life. I mean, I cannot imagine my life today without Michelle. You know, she's just such a lovely woman and she just compliments me so well. You know, so sometimes you got to move and step out without knowing that this is a sure thing, you know, like put your heart on your sleeve a bit and be like, okay, I'm going to open myself up to get hurt, possibly, but God, I'm going to step out in faith nonetheless. And that brings me to my fourth point, and that's that faith leaves comfort zones behind. You know, we all value comfort and certainty, and, you know, we try to hold on to and seek out the comfortable situations. When I was preparing this week, I thought about a couple of people who really stepped out of their comfort zones recently, and I know all of you have had to do that, but some people that really stood out for me was like Ben Orr, you know, like just sort of leaving what was a sure thing in terms of work behind and being like, no, I'm feeling called to do something new, to going freelance and sort of starting my own thing. And I can imagine that it's been tough. Like, he's left a certain comfortable thing behind for something new, and by faith, he's stepping out into what God has for him. You know, I also think of like Pastor Andrea. You know, for her, 20 years of being in this wonderful church and serving week in and week out and getting to know everyone so intimately. And, you know, that can become a comfort zone. And now she feels called to go out into the marketplace, feels called to go into children's ministry. You know, all these steps of faith that she's had to take. And it's that decision thing, you know, by deciding that and stepping out in faith to where God's calling her, she's cutting off other things, and that can be hard. That can be really hard sometimes when we step out and leave our comfort zones behind. And I want to return back to that story of when I was in Zimbabwe and I felt called to go somewhere else. And everything in me was like, stay comfortable, you know, stay with your mom and dad and your sister and your friends that you've made over 26 years. And just that's the easy way out. Stay in the geography that you've come to know and love, you know. But by faith, I stepped out and I was like, God, I'm going to go to Australia. I'm going to give this a shot and see what happens, you know. And that was so hard. I mean, I remember when I said goodbye to my parents at the airport, it felt like almost like a death because I knew I wouldn't see them again and it wouldn't be the same as what it had always been, you know. I see them from time to time, but it's just not the same as when you're living in the close proximity to people, you know. So it's hard. It's hard to leave your comfort zones behind, but it can be done. And looking back now, Australia has been so good to me. God's been so good to me in stepping out in faith like that. This church and everything that they've blessed me with in terms of opportunity has been so good. And I wouldn't have had that if I didn't step out in faith and follow God's prompting. You know, so I just want to encourage you, leave the comfort zones behind if you really feel God's calling you to something. And God will follow through and it will be better. It will get better and easier. But it's that first step out the boat onto the water that's so hard sometimes. My final point this morning is that faith believes in God's superpowers. How true is that? You know, I believe that I'm going to come to this new foreign land where I don't have many friends. I don't have my very close family. Leaving a job and the work that I had behind, you know. But I believe that God would no doubt be faithful, like he'd always been faithful to me. He would see it through. He's the God that is above all else, and he can use that step of faith to take you to new heights. You know, faith comes in believing that God can resurrect whatever dead situation you have in your life or whatever thing that you're mulling over, that you're overanalyzing, that you're thinking, God, I don't know what's the right decision. I kind of feel this. Just step out in faith. Let me just encourage you with stepping out in faith. You know, Jesus showed us the most awesome example of faith. For him, when he walked this earth, even though he was fully God and fully man, he had to go and die. But I don't know if in the back of his mind he thought, well, I hope this works. I hope I am going to resurrect, you know. But by faith, he went to the cross. You know, he went and laid his life down, trusting that God would resurrect him, would bring him back to life, would be faithful to the promise that God had said of, you know, all these prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus being risen from the dead. That's what Jesus held on to. He knew that his Father God would be faithful to resurrect him. You know, Jesus modeled this perfect faith to us in the way that he lived his life and also in the courageous way that he faced death on the cross and resurrected. What situations, mountains, or decisions are you facing, church? Here's five small suggestions for helping you to make a God-honoring, faithful decision, just like Jesus did, just like Abraham did, like Sarah did, by faith. First thing I'd encourage you to do is pray. Seek God and his will. Just wait on him. The second thing is like it, and that's to fast. Sometimes when we say no to our flesh, no to the world, and we say, no, Lord, I'm going to put off my comfort for your sake. I really want to know what you are saying in this situation. I promise you, sometimes when I've fasted, God has spoken more clearly in my life than ever before. Third thing I want to encourage you to do to make a faith-filled decision is to seek wise counsel. You know, from people who maybe have done this walk longer than you, people like Graham Vert, you know, people who've studied the scripture in a certain area more than you have, you know, people like Pastor Emma, Pastor Nigel, all these, you know, people who've been there, done that, walked it for a long time. Fourth thing is check. Check if your decision lines up with God's word. So many times we can have these outlandish ideas and the word of God is totally contrary to it and be like, yep, okay, God, I know that's not what you're saying. Definitely clear word, that's not it. The last thing is just step out in faith. Put your trust in God. Just trust him. God will come through, even with if it's a mistake that you think you're making. God uses everything to his good for those who love him, you know? Don't let analysis paralysis stunt you and hold you back in fear. Be like Abraham. Be like Jesus. Step out in faith. Trust that God will be with you every step of the way, whether you feel him or not. If I could get the worship team up, we're going to close in a song shortly. But I just want to wish you all a triumphant, faith-filled week. You know, let's try and be bold, be courageous, step outside of our comfort zones and follow God's calling in our lives. I want to leave you with one final scripture that you can take away this week and be like, whenever fear is kind of coming your way and you overanalyzing and thinking about a situation and being like, what if those people laugh at me? Just speak this and let it soothe your heart and give you peace. 1 John 4:4. Hold on to this, especially the last part of the verse. And it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because, and this is what you can hold on to and step out in faith this week with churches, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. By faith, step out and have a blessed week, church. I just want to say a quick prayer for each and every one of you, and then we'll close with one final song. Lord God, I pray that you'll bless your people this morning. I pray that you'll give them the courage to step out in faith, that they will just rise up in all areas of their life, and that you will give them clear direction and wisdom in all the decisions that they face in the coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.